So last night, we heard something wonderful, and then we heard something quite terrifying. These young, innocent boys were about to be killed. Now, I want to ask you all, if you were here last night, and if you're here for the first time tonight, to please put on your new ears. Because if you put on your new ears, you will be listening to this pastime with the same kind of astonishment as those who are participating in this pastime were experiencing. What we are trying to do is to give you an experience, not an explanation, but an experience of something. So please, if you have them, don't forget, put on your new ears. So let me explain a little more before we begin. We will go now into the pastime, and we will hear what is happening in this very exciting time. We heard last night how the boys and the calves all entered into the mouth of Agasura, who was an enormous cave-like python. At first, they spoke to one another with a little fear. Some of the boys were very cautious because they thought clearly this was not simply a cave. They said, if this is really a snake and we enter into this gigantic mouth, he will close his mouth and swallow us all up. However, other boys assured them, if it is as you say, that this is really a dangerous situation, then in an instant, this snake will be killed, just as Bakka was killed by Krishna. Hearing this, they all agreed, and they looked towards Krishna, who was some distance away, and they felt assured. Krishna is here, so we have nothing to worry about. And with this answer, they all began to laugh. And they began to jump up and down, and they clapped their hands just to see if when they clapped their hands, it was really a snake, he might open his eyes. So they clapped their hands, and they ran forward into the snake's mouth. Krishna watched them, and he was amazed that in front of him, his dearmost friends had become so impetuous. He wanted to stop them, but he couldn't. This is one of the mysteries and wonders of this pastime. He couldn't stop them. The boys had already entered into that vast cavern, and Agasura was delighted. However, he did not close his mouth because he was waiting for Krishna. Krishna cried. He thought how to kill this demon and save his friends. And then fully confident of his own unlimited abilities, he too ran into the python's opened mouth. Seeing this, the demigods who were up in the clouds, witnessing this scene, they cried out in anguish, "Oh no! Oh no!" And Kamsa's demoniac friends, who had heard this news almost instantly, they started rejoicing and cheering, "Hey! Hey!" And hearing the distress of the demigods, Krishna, the master of all mystics, decided to finish this asura. The heart of the snake shivered in fear of his imminent destruction. Although he was adept at mystical illusions like creating the body of a snake, his intelligence now had become bewildered, and he tried desperately to close his mouth, but he couldn't. Because of Krishna's superior mystic powers, the snake lost all control over his movements, and he just sat there with his mouth stuck open. He felt that Krishna was like a hot, fiery spark burning his throat, and he tried to eject him. A second later, Krishna expanded himself in size within the throat of the snake. Because Krishna had increased his size in his body, the demon began to expand his body to an enormous size. But as his breathing was obstructed, he began to suffocate, and he moved his body violently here and there. He became insane, thinking, "Where am I? What is happening?" Because his life airs were now blocked, his body swelled up and up and up. And then his prana, his life air, which had no other way to escape, it finally burst out of the top of his head. Renouncing his life's breath, the now purified soul of Putana's brother Agasura flew out of the serpent's broken skull and waited outside. He waited to attain an eternally new and fresh, auspicious future as the eternal associate of Putana's slayer, Sri Krishna. And do you know, by Krishna's power, that snake's body now sat wide open, just like a mountain cave. Then Krishna, with a glance alone, revived the almost dead calves and boys, and they woke up. They saw where they were, and they saw that they were all alive, and Krishna was there, and they were so happy, and they picked up their sticks and their other items, and they called the calves, And together they all came marching out of the serpent's mouth. Haribo! Haribo! But while Krishna was within Agasura, the demon soul had emerged from his body and stayed up in the sky like a dazzling light, illuminating all directions. And as soon as Krishna and the boys walked out of the snake's mouth, that light, everyone saw it, that light that was up in the sky, it entered into the lotus footprint, the lotus feet of this divine young boy. First, the demon let Krishna enter his body. And then Krishna allowed him to merge within his body. The cowherd boys appeared as if they had just left the jaws of death, and they were completely relieved and happy to see the tender lotus face of the peaceful son of Nanda Maharaj, which looked more attractive than the rising sun. One after another, all the boys, and this is millions and millions of boys, so Krishna allowed all of them to embrace him simultaneously. They all embraced him, and they talked with great excitement, and they said, one boy said, "Krishna, Krishna, while we were playing in that terrible demon, he ate us all up, and we fell down dead from the snake's burning poison. How did you bring us back to life?" And Krishna replied, "I am the perfect medicine to neutralize poison and to also kill the poison giver. If anyone takes this medicine, they will become joyful and they will relish it like the taste of honey. Even the dead will come back to life and enjoy sweetness if they take this medicine." Krishna's witty remarks increased the cowherd boy's loving friendship for him. The cowherd boys, the Lord's eternal associates, then enthusiastically embraced one another, and swelling with pride for their beloved friend, another boy said, "I told you before that Krishna would finish this demon just as he killed Bakasura." Yes, they appreciated Krishna's wonderful glories. And meanwhile, up above, the demigods offered prayers, looking down, which sanctified the world and echoed throughout the universe. Various drums and other instruments reverberated in all directions, and beautiful instrumental music, soft singing and dancing, and jai, 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 Jai. Combined together to make not only one festival, but an infinity of festivals. Lord Brahma heard this singing that accompanied the light of Agasura's going to Vaikuntha, and he became fascinated, seeing what was taking place. Lord Brahma was astonished. He had quickly come to Vrindavan, eager to see more. It is to bestow mercy upon the world that Krishna performs such captivating pastimes in the mood of an ordinary village cowherd boy. All this excitement had made the boys forget about their picnic, and now they were very tired and still very excited by what had taken place. So to satisfy his friends, who were now greatly hungry, Krishna ordered them to collect the picnic items which they had tied to the trees and follow him. So they took their bundles, they retied them to their sticks, they carried their sticks again resting on their shoulders with the meals that their mothers had prepared, and following Krishna, they began searching for a good lunch spot. Krishna found the ideal place for their meal beside the Jamuna. A circle of tall green trees whose branches joined overhead, forming a natural canopy, shaded this particular spot. The sand on the ground was as pure and as white as powdered camphor, and it looked as though it had been washed with liquid silver. A gentle breeze was blowing, and it was full of droplets of water which cooled and refreshed the entire area. Krishna also liked the sweet fragrance of the blooming lotuses that were growing nearby. All of this created a wonderful atmosphere and a perfect place by the bank of the Jamuna. "Look, my friends," Krishna said. "The chirping of the birds, along with the cooing of the peacocks, surrounded by the whispering of the leaves in the trees, all combine to present such wonderful sounds that they echo one another. And this enriches the beautiful scenery created by the trees here. Do you hear the bees? The bees are humming as if they were singing to us. The shade of the trees will ward off the hot autumn sun. So I think this place is ideal. A nice, quiet place, pleasing to the eyes and comfortable as the laps of our mothers. Quickly, come. Let us enjoy our lunch in this spot, because it is already quite late and we are very, very hungry. So let the calves remain near us and they can drink the water of the Jamuna, and we can enjoy our lunch while they eat the soft grasses that are there. Hearing the statement of Krishna, who is the supreme transcendence and a marvelous person, at the same time, the cowherd boys all laughed and replied, "You and I am the same. We are all the same. Since we feel hungry, you must feel hungry also. So let us all sit down here and take our meals." Krishna agreed. "Yes, let us now eat." With his golden effulgence, his bluish complexion, and his elegant yellow dhoti, Krishna looked like the whirl of a lotus surrounded by thousands and thousands of petals. As he sat in the center, encircled by lines of cowherd boys, millions and millions of boys, the innermost glow, the innermost rays glowed with a reddish hue. These were Krishna's closest friends. He arranged that they should sit closest to him. And all the other boys sat in concentric circles further and further away. As the rays moved further from the center, they displayed a gradation of color from orange to yellow to green to blue and to violet. This rainbow-like display of boys and colors looked extraordinarily attractive. And most astonishing was the fact that although some of the boys sat a long way away, every single individual boy felt that Krishna was sitting here, looking directly at him and sharing his lunch. Not one boy felt that Krishna was not sitting opposite him. This was Krishna's special internal spiritual energy at work. With him in the center, they forgot all their sufferings. Krishna said, "Oh, my friends, now take all the foods out of the pots that you have been carrying on the poles." So the boys placed their lunch on a wide variety of plates. Some of them used lotus leaves to put their meal on. Some of them used leaves from the trees. Some of them used flowers. Some of them used a rock. Some of them used bark from the trees. Some of them just used their chadars. And some of them held up their prasad in the auspicious lines of their palms. And a few of them put their food on their thighs. Some of the boys artistically arranged all the best prasad on a leaf plate and offered it to Krishna with affection. Each boy had his own idea what he wanted to use and how he wanted to share. And yet the purpose of every one of them was to lovingly please and serve Krishna the nicest food that they had brought. There was no formality. There was no cleanliness. There was no achman. There were no mantras chanted. There was no taking bath and so on before handing their food to Krishna. And all the boys had all the time in the world. They were in no hurry. And they thought of nothing else except enjoying this meal together. So sometimes they would take something out of their bag and they would eat a bit. Oh, this is really good. And then they would hand it to Krishna. No washing their hands. They would say, "This is so good. Try this." And they'd put it into his mouth. And he was sitting right there, right in front of them. And in this way, they would say, "This is so tasty. Try this. Oh, have one of these." And while Krishna was eating, he kept in his left hand, a big lump of rice that he was eating. And in between his fingers, he stuck some pieces of pickles, lemon pickles and different kinds of pickles, so that he could take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or he could put it in the other hand and take it also with his left hand. He laughed and he joked and he teased the boys, and they spoke so many funny words, and they moved their hands in all kind of different ways. And Krishna was so funny. He took so much pleasure in entertaining the boys with very funny words. And they would respond by telling jokes and filling him with laughter. They sat, they ate, they laughed and laughed and made each other laugh until they could no longer stop laughing. They showed each other their food, and they made funny faces. Ah! Woo! And the inhabitants of the higher planets were watching this. And they were astonished. How could the supreme personality of Godhead, who eats only when yajñas are purely offered, how could he be sitting here eating like an ordinary village child with no manners, with no decorum? He was standing up and walking around while he was eating, and they would push each other and make jokes. How could he do this with his hands still sticky and moist from eating? Krishna looked incredibly beautiful. His flute was tucked tightly in his waist belt on the right side. Flute. And his buffalo horn in the left, with his stick for driving the cabs. And there he was, attracting the minds of everyone. At the time when Agasura was killed, please listen, the demigods were looking on at this incident with great astonishment. Lord Brahma, who is born from the lotus flower growing from the navel of Lord Vishnu, also came to see And he was very surprised to see how this little boy could act so wonderfully. Although he knew, in some part of him, he knew that this was the Supreme Lord. But another part of him was so astonished, and he wanted to see some more pastimes. And thus, as the boys and the cows were enjoying a great festival of eating their lunch, the cowherd boys were enjoying a festival, the calves left that place and wandered to faraway grassy meadows. As soon as the boys saw that the calves were no longer in sight, they had lost them. The lunch festival of Krishna's friends suddenly broke apart. Oh, where are the calves? They looked around in fear. We've lost the calves. Pacifying his friends, Krishna said, I will go and search for the calves. Some of the boys said, you shouldn't go alone. We'll come with you. He said, no, no. I will go by myself. You sit here and continue your meal. And I will go and look for them and bring them back immediately. Carrying a morsel of food in his hand to assure the boys that he was not going to be hungry and that they should continue to eat, he walked on difficult to traverse pathways through dense forests, over hills, by lakesides. He looked everywhere for the calves without any success. Again, he turned around and looked this way and that. He turned and looked in another place. Finally, with no luck, he returned to where the boys were having their picnic. And with great surprise, he could not even find his friends. In fact, everything had disappeared. Everything was gone, including their meal. Everything was gone. When he enters deeply into his own loving pastimes, sometimes Krishna becomes bewildered. Krishna began to think, where are the boys and the calves? Did I save them from Agasura just so they could be stolen away? Where are the boys and the calves? But then, in a moment, he understood. This must be the work of the demigod Brahma, he thought. Brahma is not inimical to me. He does not think himself my enemy. I will now show and enjoy such wonderful pastimes with my devotees that will completely astonish Brahma. Thinking in this way, the all-knowing Lord, as a small, young, little boy, he decided what he was going to do. He employed his spiritual energy to expand himself into the exact number of forms of each one of the missing boys and calves. And then, when they were all together as they were before, laughing and jumping and playing, when they were all ready, yes, then he gladly proceeded home to Vrindavan. He entered the village, and all the calves went to their respective cowsheds, and all the boys went to their respective mothers and homes. And no one in Vrindavan knew what had just taken place. And tomorrow night, I will share some of the amazing things that happened when Krishna made this clever arrangement. He made this arrangement for four reasons. One was to satisfy the mothers who were always thinking, if only Yasoda's son was our son. And one was to satisfy Brahma. And one was to satisfy the little girls of Vrindavan who were not yet old enough but were always thinking, when I grow up, who will I marry? And one of them, the fourth one, was to satisfy his desire to taste the love of all the residents of Vrindavan. So now we should have some beautiful kirtan and meditate upon this wonderful scene that we have just entered into. Hare Krishna. Thank you.